life. And what is interesting to me in the original language, when you look at the passage as it is written, the New Testament is written in the Greek language, and sometimes the Greek language is not written in the same order in which we speak English. And in this particular case, the sentence starts with the word life or living. And it's translated best this way: living is the word. Living is the word. The emphasis is on the living part. And it actually is the word zoe in the New Testament in the Greek language. And it means life, abundant life, real life, spiritual life, authentic life. The emphasis is on what the Word of God can do in our hearts and lives. It can bring spiritual life and vitality to the believer. A few weeks ago, we looked at the passage out of Romans chapter 10. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the Word of God that has the ability to inspire faith in our hearts, to bring vitality and spiritual life to our very beings, to make us what God wants us to be. But while the Word of God is a living word, that does not mean it is a changing word. Because the written word reveals the living word, Jesus Christ, and the living word reveals the holy God who created this universe, the Heavenly Father, who created everything that is, who knows everything. And the Bible tells us very clearly that this God never changes in his character, his nature, or his purpose. It's what we call the immutability of God. God does not change in his character, nature, or purpose. Now, sometimes, because of our decisions, God will sometimes delay. Sometimes God will detour. But God's purpose will ultimately be accomplished. Job says, I know no purpose of thine, O God, can be thwarted. Every purpose of God is ultimately accomplished because God never changes in his character, his nature, and his purpose. And this word reveals God. And while it is a living word, that does not mean it is a changing word, because God never changes. I was telling my wife the other day, I said, I hate to get involved in these television series because it seems like they have one year of episodes, and then I get real invested in the storyline, and then next year they don't renew the series. But I've gotten invested in a series called The Last Ship. Has anybody seen that on TNT? The Last Ship. And it's sort of a story that I believe has a spiritual analogy. By the way, there's a good Southern Baptist character on there that they don't show in a bad light, so that's good. But it's a story basically about this epidemic that's spread across the world, and people are dying right and left. And the last ship has a scientist on board who's trying to find an antidote that will spare all of the world's population from this disease that has run rampant and killing people right and left. And they are the last hope for humanity. And as they move along in the series, almost at the end of the season, they find a young lady. Who's a young lady, but she has lived among people who are diseased and infected, and yet she has not had the infection herself. And she becomes the antidote to the rest of humanity. They take her blood and are able to use her blood to spare those on the ship, to inoculate those on the ship so that they will not die when exposed to this infectious disease. Do you see the spiritual analogy? Jesus lived among us. He walked as one who was pure and holy. He was tempted to sin, but never sinned. He died on a cross and took all the sins that we ever had upon himself and suffered punishment in our behalf so that we would never have to be punished. And when we have a personal relationship with him, when we invite him to be the Savior and Lord of our life, he inoculates us from the disease of sin so that we will never have to experience the consequences of sin, and we will live forever in a place called heaven with him. Jesus is our last and only hope. He is our last and only hope. And this word reveals to us who Jesus is. It brings life. It is a living word. Satan desires to destroy and harm us. The Bible says that God's word is the antidote to Satan's destructive forces. If we allow God's word to be rooted deep in our life, we will discover life, abundant life, and blessings, not only in heaven to come, but here in this life as well. The word of God will bring life. Secondly, the word of God will bring transformation. Verse 12 says, the word of God is living and active. In the original language, the Greek language, that's the word from which we get our word energy. And it literally means the word of God is energetic. It's actively involved in changing us and transforming us into who God wants us to be. It's not passive. It's not dormant. It says it pierces our soul and our spirit and even our body to convict us of sin. It is a two-edged sword, it says. You speak of the two-edged sword, you're reminded of that little short-handled sword that the Romans used in battle where they could cut this way and that way. It was an effective device to conquer the enemy. And the Word of God is God's device. It's God's weapon to conquer the enemy. But I think that two-edged sword speaks of its bittersweet nature. There's a passage in the book of Revelation, verses 10 and 9, where John says, "The voice I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me. And he said, 'Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land.' And so I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said, 'Take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey.' And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was as sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter." You see, the Word of God sometimes comes to us and it's bittersweet. It's good for us, but sometimes we don't like what it says to us. Sometimes people say, "Pastor, you really stomped on my toes this morning. I needed to hear that." When people say that, you know what they're saying? It was painful to hear, but I needed to hear it. There's some changes I needed to make in my life. The Word of God is bittersweet. It's sort of like going to the dentist to get fillings. They have to hurt you in order to help you. I know they put that little stuff in your gums to give you a shot, and they try to numb the gum before they give you a shot, but I've felt every shot they've ever given me. And then when they start drilling away, I feel every part of the drill. And I know they're trying to help me because if they don't take care of the decay in my teeth, it's going to hurt in the future. And so what they do to me is bitter sweet. In fact, they do it so I can eat sweets. They have to hurt you in order to help you. You take your kids to get vaccinations. You go to school. We started school this year. And your kids have to be vaccinated. Why? It hurts. Sometimes they get a vaccination and they'll run a fever after the vaccination. But why do we get our kids vaccinated? To make sure that a future disease does not make it more painful or even fatal in their life. We hurt them in order to help them. When we discipline our children, we spank them. Yeah, that's allowed. You shouldn't do it out of anger, out of wanting to hurt them. You ought to do it out of wanting to help them and discipline them and make them what God wants them to be, to give them a good example. The writer here in Hebrews, he says, God's word speaks to our very spirit and body. And then he mentions the joints and marrow, which is part of the physical realm. And I literally believe that this is referring to the trichotomy man. We are spirit, soul, and body. Spirit is what created us in the likeness and image of God. It has made us eternal beings. We are spiritual beings created in the likeness and image of God. And yes, that likeness and image has been marred and scarred because of sin. But my friends, God wants to destroy that image into the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And that's why Christ died on the cross for our sins, so that we could be restored in our spirit. The soulish dimension is what we call the The soulless dimension is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The ability to think right, choose right, and to feel right. Come as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God helps us in that dimension. And then it mentions the joints and the marrow. That's the physical realm. God wants us to be pure and holy in the physical realm. Body, soul, and spirit, all of that is a part of our salvation. In fact, each one of those dimensions connects to those three aspects or three tenses of salvation. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification. God restores our spirit. It makes us just as if we had never sinned. Sanctification. God restores our soul, is in the process of restoring our soul, growing us in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our ability to think right, to choose right, to feel right, are constantly being renewed by the power of His Word. And ultimately, we are restored in our physical body one of these days. That's called glorification. One of these days, we will have a body just like Jesus. We'll not be tainted with sin. We'll not have the curse of sin, sickness, disease, or death that follow us around. All of that will be renewed. And all that is a part of what the Word of God does in our heart and life to transform us into making us what God wants us to be. One of my favorite preachers was Adrian Rogers, and he's written a book about this very topic and the trichotomy of man. And he says, in the region of the body, in the area of the body, when we are where God wants us to be, we are healthy. He said, in the area of the soul, when we're where God wants us to be, we are happy. And when we are in the area of the spirit, when we're where God wants us to be, we're holy. And God wants us to be holy, happy, and healthy. And in this life, all those realities don't always come together, but in the next life, we'll have all three of those things. And our salvation will ultimately be complete. We'll be happy, healthy, and holy. And the Word of God in this side of heaven helps transform us so that we experience a measure of that healthiness, happiness, and holiness. Second thing I want to point out from this passage is the characteristics of the hearer. The characteristics of the hearer. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes on down the middle of verse 12. And it said, it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. What are the characteristics of the hearer that God wants us to have? The first is that of transparency. God wants us to be totally honest with Him. Because to be honest, we can't be dishonest. God wants us to be totally transparent with Him. The Word of God is able to speak in our hearts in such a way that it discerns not just the actions, the outward actions, but the very motives and intentions of our heart. Sometimes we may not even know why we do what we do, but God does. And sometimes our motives are not always pure. The Word of God can bring to light our very motives that drive our activity. We can do the right things for the wrong reasons. We can do the wrong things for the right reasons. And the Word of God can shape us and mold us when we're honest before God, honest with God, and allow God's Word to be honest with us. We can learn to do the right things for the right reasons. We can do the right things for the wrong reasons. We can do the wrong things for the right reasons. But what God desires is to help us to do the right things for the right reasons. And He wants us to be open and honest with Him in all things in our lives. He wants us to see our sin the way He sees our sin. That's called confession, to agree with Him. And then He wants us to turn away from sin. That's called repentance. To turn away from sins and turn to Him in fullness. When I go out and get in the truck to drive to work early in the morning, in fact, when I got in the truck to drive to church here this morning, there was all kinds of moisture on the windshield of my truck. And I backed out of the driveway, and the back window didn't have any moisture on it. I could see it was perfectly transparent. I could back up. But when I started to go forward, nothing was transparent. It was all cloudy, fogged up, moisture all over my windshield. In order to see, I had to get the windshield wiper. I had to clear off the moisture, the dew. That's transparency. sins can sometimes cloud our judgment to keep us from seeing what God wants us to change in our heart and life. But when we come to the Word of God, it can make clear to us what our sin is and what we need to do about it. And when we come to God, we need to have this transparency of spirit. The second characteristic of that is that of authenticity. Authenticity. Transparency will lead to authenticity. You know what the opposite of authenticity is? It's called hypocrisy. Nothing drives people away from God quicker than seeing hypocrisy in a believer, and nothing drives people to God quicker than seeing authenticity in the life of a believer. Rick Warren, who's one of my favorite megachurch pastors, used to say this. It's always stuck with me. He said, the reason people come to Christ is because they know one. The reason people become Christians is because they know one. And then he turns it around. He says, the reason people don't become Christians is because they know one. You see, we can live life as hypocrites in hypocrisy and drive people away from Christ. Or we can live in authenticity, being authentic and real and just, hey, here I am, warts and all. I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, but I have struggles. I mess up. I make mistakes. I do wrong. God forgive me, I do wrong. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. I'm not a perfect wife. I'm not a perfect sister. I'm not a perfect brother. I mess up. But you know what? God helps me with my struggles. We need to be authentic and real, open and honest. We, in a few weeks, will have our Halloween event. And we'll have trunk or treat, and a lot of people will be coming through. And Halloween, people put on masks and pretend to be someone else or something else. I like to put on superhero outfit. Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Thor. I'd like the Thor, yeah. But reality has a different picture altogether. It doesn't matter what I want to be. The reality is this is who I am. I don't look like Thor. I can't fight and fly like Superman. I can't swing through the city streets like Spider-Man. I'm just Jay. I'm not a superhero. I have faults. That's who I am. We don't need to put on a mask. We just need to be authentic. One of the discipleship goals as a believer is that we are men and women of authentic faith. We need to be authentic with ourselves, authentic with God, authentic with each other, and authentic with the world. And the Word of God gives us a picture of where we really are. And we need to accept that perception of reality because that is reality. The Word of God makes clear to us where we are and who we are. One last thing, and I'll be quick. The characteristics of God. This passage points out the characteristics of God. Remember, there is a direct connection between God and His Word. The Word of God reveals the nature and character of God. And in this particular case, it says, verse 13, there is no creation hidden from His sight, but all things are open and bare or naked to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. This scripture tells us God sees all things. There is nothing in creation that is not seen by God. This speaks of His omnipresence. You cannot escape from His presence. It does not matter where you go or what you do. You cannot escape His presence. You cannot escape His sight, His omniscience. He knows everything about you. So you just need to be honest with yourself because God already knows everything about you. There's nothing we can do to cover up our sins or our imperfections. He sees them all. That passage that says all things are open, it's the idea of being exposed at the neck. It's just to lay bare. It's actually the concept of a person who's willing to offer himself as a human sacrifice before a priest who would stand there with his neck open, ready for his throat to be slit. We need to have that kind of vulnerability before God because God knows exactly who we are. And we need to be bare before Him, open to Him. Another one of those reality shows I like to watch And I probably shouldn't even mention it because some of you might not think it's appropriate. But I'm going to be authentic this morning. I like Big Brother. I didn't start out liking Big Brother, but somewhere along the line, I got to enjoying Big Brother. And what I don't like is Big Brother 24/7. I like watching three nights a week. Big Brother's on, and I watch those one-hour summaries of what's happened during the week. But I discovered that there are channels on TV where you can watch everything that goes on in the Big Brother house 24/7. At any time of the day or night, I can turn on the TV, and there's cameras throughout the house showing what those contestants are doing in the Big Brother house. And over the period of an entire summer, you begin to know the character and the substance of who those individuals are. They cannot pretend to be something they're not because it comes out as you watch them 24/7. And I want you to know God is your big brother. He knows exactly who you are. He's watching you 24/7. He's taking care of you. And you cannot hide from Him. The second thing I want to say from this passage, the characteristics of God, He judges according to His Word. The last phrase in verse 13 is difficult to translate into English. The translation you have in the New American Standard is, all things are laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The literal translation, word for word, is literally translated, with whom to us the word. That's awkward, isn't it? With whom to us the word is literal translation. But the best English translation is probably, all things are laid bare before His eyes, and we will be accountable to God according to His word, is the context. The last phrase is the word. And so I put it, the last phrase in the sentence, the last word in the sentence, refers to the word of God. And that's what is going to hold us accountable. God is going to hold us accountable according to how we responded to His truth in His holy word. When a person appears before a judge, he's deemed guilty if he has violated the laws for which he's been charged for violating. The judge can't say, you did not break the law, but I'm going to find you guilty anyway and punish you because I just don't like you. Can't do that. He has to judge a person based on what is written in the law. Has the person broken the law or not broken the law? This is God's holy word. And God is going to judge us based on the revelation of His word to mankind. And He will judge on how we've responded to His holy word. God's rewards and punishments will be based on our obedience and adherence to God's truth and His word and applying God's principles to our lives. God loves us. He's not capricious in His love. He is universal in His love and just in His judgment. He will discipline us and He will judge us or bless us in this world and the next according to our authenticity and desiring to live and obey the word of God. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you come to Christ because of what you do. I'm saying because you have a relationship with Christ, it affects everything you do. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. If we are followers of Christ, we need to look a little bit like Christ. We are famous as Baptists to quote Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But listen to verse 10. For we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God has saved us not to sin, not to sit, not to stew, but He has saved us to serve and to dedicate our lives to Him so that we may live for Him and broadcast to the world, Jesus lives in me. Imperfect as I am, Jesus lives in me. And I'm going to live according to His truth, according to His word. Let's bow our heads together. Let me say this. If we want to draw near to God, we must obey His word and let His words transform us into the person He wants us to be. Are you willing to do that this morning? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, in a few moments we're going to begin to sing. And in our church, we give people an opportunity to respond publicly to the Word of God in their life. And if you want to come and talk to one of our pastors, I'll be here at the front. Pastor Jim will be here at the front. Pastor Carson will be here at the front. We'll talk to you about your relationship with Christ. If you need to be renewed in your commitment to Christ, we invite you to come. You want to join our fellowship, we invite you to come. And we'll talk to you about what it takes to be a member of our fellowship. Whatever God is leading you to do, in a few moments we're going to sing. We invite you to come. God, speak to our hearts now. And may the power of your Spirit be evident in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.